Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that's a bit jaunty, Judith, isn't it? It's a bit jaunty. We've cut the sleigh bells at least.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to say Happy New Year to you. I'd like to say Happy New Year to you and Daisy, but as many of you will know, I've had a bit of a fucking week.
You certainly have, Jenny. Yeah. I mean, for those of the gang that haven't seen the notice board and so on, do tell us what's happened.
Well, June died is the bottom line, my mother, which was a long, let's face it. I mean, for regular listeners, they will know it has been a lot, not a long time coming, but June got dementia in 2020. Lockdown not helping, just one of the very many casualties of the pandemic and ended up in, thank God. I mean, I thank so many lucky stars for so many things in the last week that I was that she went into a good nursing home where they were able to give her palliative end-of-life care and she didn't end up in a hospital. The idea of June having to go into hospital at the end of her life at this time when we know everything's so difficult. And I got a train, Judith.
Thank God you did, because you sent me a text just because I knew, you know, that your mum was really, really poorly. And you said, oh, I can't believe this, Judith, but because your train was cancelled.
Yeah. Well, the text message went, fucking fuck, fuck, fuck.
Well, yes, I wasn't going to say that, but yes, it did. Yes, it did.
I booked a train. So my sister got to up to Lytham. And I mean, you know that Jeff and I have been, it's been 2 weeks since we've chatted. I really missed the podcast last week. It sort of seems, because so much has been going on. Mind you, it could have got quite sort of one note, really. Jeff and I came up for Christmas. June was unwell, really, really had deteriorated quite badly. She was desperate to be in bed. She, by Boxing Day, she'd stopped eating and,
talking, conscious.
Well, there was one moment, not really. I had her sister with me, and that's been the saddest thing. What makes me cry is thinking of Eileen, who is 96, 97 next month. And the sisters were so close, and it's been desperate.
She's lost her buddy.
She's lost her best friend, So, and it was, you know, we were trying to help feed her, and she just wasn't interested, and she wasn't really communicating. And just the last thing she said is, I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, Jenny, how wonderful.
That was it. There was nothing else from her.
Oh, and, Jenny, I'm so pleased that you got there and she was able to say that.
Oh, no, that was Boxing Day. That was when Jeff and I were up. So I knew she was going downhill. Sure. And then Jeff and I drove back to London. And, it's, you know, because the trains, because of everything being, and the holidays, it was 8 hours up to Lytham, 8 hours back. So when we got a phone call on the 28th, you know, we were re-celebrating Christmas at my sister's because I'd been up here and everyone had been different places. And got back to London, of course, and meant to have the second Christmas celebration. And my nephew, Zach, had some terrible flu bug. Phoebe had it and hers had gone to her stomach. God. She slept on the bathroom floor for 2 nights.
Just she slept on the bathroom floor? Yeah. Because she was so sick?
She was so sick.
And she's feeding Arlo.
And I mean, you know, he's a tough customer, Arlo. She's there puking. He still wants the boob. He's quite hardcore. God. So that all got a bit sort of, well, as everybody, this happens every Christmas, there's always a fly in the bleeding ointment, isn't there? My red cabbage went to shit and I had to throw vats of it away, Judith. That's where we left the last podcast.
What was wrong with your red cabbage?
Elderly lard.
Elderly lard? Yeah, what's with elderly lard? Oh, off lard.
Off lard. Off lard. This is me being so proud. People say, why are you using lard? Why are you using... my response has always been, because my mother used lard. You know, we spent a chunk of my childhood in Berlin and it was a German recipe and they used lard, so she used lard. And she was quite a cheapskate as well. Lard is cheap. Anyway, I said on Twitter, my red cabbage tastes awful. And Dilly Keane, our friend, said it could be your elderly lard. Elderly lard.
Off
off.
And I checked the sell-by date of the elderly lard, and it was August 2016. And it really left a really nasty aftertaste, that's all I can say. And I'd used two different recipes, Judith, because I tasted the first one, I thought, oh, that's not very nice. I'll use a different recipe, lard. Tried mixing the two together. I had three vats of red cabbage by this point. They all went down the incinerator. It was a terrible waste.
The incinerator.
And at this point, this is where my Christmas just kind of went off the rails. So there's the long trip up to see June, the very disappointing, you know, her not really being with it, the sort of the guilt of leaving again.
Well, and also the strange Christmas that you and Jeff must have had in her flat. Well, I know you did.
It's like practicing to be a little old couple, because it's very set up as a retirement flat, and you just sort of, the two of us, I think, just, you know, people regress.
Did you blend in?
No, we kind of, what's the opposite of regressing? We kind of progressed to a point where we were both in our late 80s, eating off lap-safe trays. And I make the most appalling Christmas lunch. That's all
as
I
in,
can say.
As in?
I forgot stuffing. I forgot cranberry sauce. I've been very distracted.
Roast chicken then.
We had roast chicken. We had, I didn't even do roast potatoes, Judith. We did baked potatoes, roast chicken, peas and some roast carrots.
You had a school night supper, really, didn't you? Quite a drab one.
No, it wasn't. It was a school night supper. It was like a school dinner. It was like a school Christmas dinner.
Yeah, I mean, I quite like a school. As you know, I'm quite fond of a school dinner, but I can see that that would be
there wasn't much
more of a disappointing.
Yeah. Now, just to fill me in, because we'll go back to June, but did you have a nice Christmas dinner? And did you have a good Christmas, June?
It was fine. And I'm using the word fine.
Fine!
Yes, exactly. As in your wonderful show. Yes, it was kind of, the bits of it were very, very lovely. And it was very filled with twins, which was very nice. But there was quite a lot of tension on Christmas Day.
It's too much.
So it's always, isn't it? It's that hour when you've got all that shuffling in the oven, you know, trying to keep something hot and warm something up, and everyone, the person on roast potatoes getting in the way of the person doing gravy. And then we had an argument, and then Sienna did the classic thing of telling me to calm down, which was like pouring fucking petrol on the situation.
How bad
so
did
I flounced.
You get, did you have, oh, you flounced.
Oh, I had a major flounce. Not only a major flounce, I did this feeble, immature thing of saying to Sienna, you always side with your father, which actually was quite sort of spoilt and childish of me.
Yeah.
But we are, you know, we are actually children, really, aren't we, underneath?
If you were in this flat, Judith, you'd call a psychologist, because me, my sister, my brother, it is insane here. It's sort of insane. And helping in a lot of respects, because there's something very, even though family are kind of crazy and drive you mad, there's something so familiar and easy about it. My sister is walking around. Fortunately, they've gone out now.
Oh, yeah.
They've gone to see the estate agent. It's with my sister, it's waste no time.
And she's right, really, isn't
she's
she?
Right, she's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I've got so many complicated feelings about all this. I really have. And, you know, Christmas just amplifies it all, because
definitely,
we all want this perfection, as you say. I can imagine you there in the kitchen. I bet you were even warming plates. Were you warming plates?
I was. Of course I was warming plates. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, it was all fun. But yes, you're right. I think when you're going through something like you have been through, and it's, you know, and it's Christmas, it sort of just turns the dial up somehow of the emotion, doesn't it? Because you'd have been thinking about your mum at Christmas. And
I was thinking about Arlo, and I was missing Arlo. And I was, you know, so anyway, we got this phone call from the doctor, who said that June is now receiving palliative care she's in bed, and it's unlikely she'll be up again. But then that used to happen with my dad, and he was so Lazarus-ish, my dad, you know, who's forever. He was forever sort of in a coma, and then I always did that bit in my act about him being in a coma and managing to steal a packet of Rolos off a nurse when he was in a coma in ICU. That's more or less sort of true.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, there was a point when my dad was meant to die, and he was in a hospice in Bispham, and he made friends with the lad who was making cakes in the afternoon. They were meant to, and my dad put on so much weight in the hospice They're sort of not worrying about him dying, and they got more worried about his diabetes. Anyway.
Well, he made the most of it, didn't he?
He really made the most of it. And he was one of the very few people that left the hospice to go into a nursing home. Anyway, June was very... we are incredibly grateful to the nursing home. It's called the Delahays, and it's in the end, I got there, as I say, thank God, because the train strikes, and I know I have every respect for everybody on strike at the moment, but the idea of not being able to get somewhere
worst nightmare. Absolutely. I mean, just to interject slightly there, I remember my dad was in a hospice and I had a call from them to say he'd taken a really bad turn for the worse. I was halfway on my way to London from Newcastle, and there was, you know, I'd gone past Doncaster. So there was, you know, it would have meant going right down to Newcastle and then coming back. And I went to see the guard, you know, and explained the situation. Sort of right.
Why had the train stopped?
No. But I just thought, well, if I have to go all the way to London, wait for the next train, come all the way back up, it might be too late.
Oh, God. Right. So you were heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah, heading in the wrong direction. Exactly. So I went to and explained to them. And they were so sweet. And the driver or whatever said, which hospice is he in? And they checked quite rightly. And they made an unscheduled stop for me on that great big line so I could get off and then start heading back north so I could make it. People are so kind, actually, aren't they, in those situations?
Given the opportunity to be kind, most people really are.
I think so.
It's the system that's fucked, not the people.
Yeah, very well. But yeah, you must have been absolutely... Well, I mean, just a nerve-wracking thing.
It was nerve-wracking. It was nerve-wracking because Sarah phoned on the Sunday and said... because we'd got this phone call. She'd gone to Wales for a few days, and then just thought, what am I doing sitting here? So she'd driven across country, gone to Lytham, and it was obviously very bad. So I said, right, I'm coming. And that was Sunday. And so I booked a train, the quickest, fastest train. And I was speaking to Sarah in the evening on Sunday, and I got this email saying, your train has been cancelled. And I just remember going, because I just thought, and then I send you a text going, fucking cunt. But then I got another train. It was a much slower train. I just sat on this train thinking, oh God. And then I got arranged a taxi to pick me up from Preston to take me to Lytham rather than waiting for changes and all this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got an ex-copper. So he was like, I think if he'd had a blue light in his back pocket, he'd have blue lit me. But he was driving like he had. And we got stuck in a traffic jam in Lytham. There's never a traffic jam in Lytham.
Oh,
and there was this bit where I just thought, this is unbearable. This is, you know, there's that terrible thing. You think, I'm just not going to make it. Because people don't. I mean, half the royal family didn't make it, did they, to the
Queen?
That's
very true. Very true.
If they can't make it, and they've got helicopters. And anyway, my sister and I did the long shift. And I got there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And June died at 20 to 1 the next morning. So it was 11 and a half, whatever. Yeah. That can't
was she
be con- the
was she conscious, Jenny?
No, not at all. No. Right. She had been. Sarah said in the days before she'd been agitated but not conscious.
Right.
But by the time I got there, she was not seeing. The nurses said that she was hearing. So we just In some respects, I wish I'd recorded it because it was like something out of a Pinter play. There was this 11 and a half hours, and I feel incredibly privileged to have done this now, even though I'd never admit it, apart from to us. But, you know, that I was able to spend this time with my sister without quarrelling, without... It was quite an intense time, and there were some very funny conversations and some really nice conversations, and there were some big laughs. And my mother died when we were laughing. We were really laughing, my sister and I.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
Because there'd been many, many false alarms. I mean, I don't know. I watched my father die, and it was a very different death to my mother.
I suppose they all are, really, aren't they?
They're like births. And
yes,
exactly the same. I mean, I've never witnessed a birth. You know, I was there when I gave birth to my own, but I've never seen someone else do it. And it is this sort of reverse miracle. It's the beginning, it's the end, and it's that there is a breath and then there is no other breath.
It is
a moment that is like no other moment.
I know. And the difference between, I suppose, those very slowing down breaths and then the last one.
Yeah. And never knowing which one it's going to be.
I know. It is.
And,
it is.
You know,
well,
having
it is the ultimate
false alarms.
Natural process, isn't it? It is the ultimate disappearing act.
And there's always something absurd about these vigils. And, you know, we are not a terribly sentimental family, and we lost June 2 years ago, let's face it, in terms of her mental capacity
bit
and what
bit.
She used
I know.
To be.
Very hard, very hard.
Tell there me was about always a bit, a little pilot light of her. It was there was
oh, that's such a good way of putting it.
And the pilot light had gone out. It really had, and we were just waiting for everything else to stop.
Did the two of you talk, sort of thinking that she would hear and so on?
Yes and no, and gossip and sort of daft things. And okay, and I know you will understand this, and some people really won't, and they'll think we're really weird. There was a moment when we realised that we were going to do the overnighter.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because one nurse had said, "I don't think she's going to make it beyond 8 o'clock in the evening."
Gosh.
And
really?
And I thought, oh, that's, I've really timed this well, and you know, it's awful, but it's manageable. And then she, you know, you can't time these things. And then about my sister and I sort of admitting to each other that even though it was a difficult situation, and you know, we were a bit peckish.
Sorry.
I know, and I did mention you. I said if Judith was here, she'd have something. She'd
have some emergency mini cheddars.
And Sarah said it's a shame you can't call her because she'd probably go and get us something.
Oh, and I suppose saying, what, had all ludicrous. The staff gone? I suppose
yeah,
all the staff
and the
had
kitchen
gone.
Was locked.
I was going to say I would have migrated.
Yeah,
if you had that, did you? Yeah,
because you know there was a bit. But the thing is, you can't leave the room either. The fear when I left the room to have a wee and sort of like, not really finishing my wee properly because what if? And then it was over, and it just is. So, you know, a person has left the room, and we got out of the nursing home at about 1:30 in the morning, and there was this deep and heavy frost. We couldn't even just drive off because there was such, we had to get the, de-ice the car. And it was just this ridiculous in the middle of the night scenario, and then got back here, had a glass of wine and went to bed. But the only snackage we had on us between 2 o'clock and 1:30 and 12:30 in the morning. Sarah had two miniature Higgity sausage rolls. You know, the inch square ones.
Oh,
she
God. Bite-sized.
Bite-sized.
Right. Did you
and
get one?
I,
did she have,
yeah,
did she share those?
Yeah, we
good.
Shared. And I good had a pret-a-manger breakfast egg and bacon half baguette, the small breakfast ones they do. So we were, every hour we were saying, well, we'll wait another hour and then we'll have one of the Higgities. And then we'll wait another couple of hours. And then there were some biscuits. You know I don't eat biscuits. I ate a custard cream for the first time in 40 years.
You were desperate, weren't you? You were desperate.
Yeah.
Do you like it? Do you like it? Did
you
give it a taste?
I thought it was one of the worst things I've ever eaten because I don't have a sweet tooth. So to me, it was just like ridiculous.
God.
And Sarah found some chocolates in my mother's room. And that was, there's another patient with Alzheimer's or dementia who'd tried to sneak in the room because he knew there was chocolates in the room. He wanted to steal, and we had to say, no, Peter, get out. You know, the ludicrousness of
I bet. It's very unifying, though, I think, for you and Sarah. To
yeah, but then we're
that.
Squabbling, like, you know, we're here now snarling and snapping at each other. And she's wearing this morning she was wearing a nightie. It was very, very short. And the bottom button was missing. And I could see her pubic hair. And she was she was unstacking the dishwasher. And I said, Sarah, you're brushing the mugs with your pudenda. I didn't think it was on. Well, and then my brother's here now.
You're regressing, aren't you? I suppose what you do instantly is regress, don't you?
Yeah, apart from those two, because they've got barrister speak. You know, they're doing all the legal stuff and they're leaving me out.
Oh, my God, Jenny.
Well, I know, but I have to sometimes put my hand up and say, you know, you must remember to include me in these conversations.
Well, yes, I suppose so. But I mean, I think that in terms of a transaction, I'd much rather be your end of the hassle, really, of all of that. I mean, great, great to have them doing that. But I imagine there's a great mountain of things to do, isn't there? I mean,
we sort of got a bit cracking. Yes, I mean, we got back at about 1:30 in the morning, and then we were up back at the nursing home for 10 to clear her room.
Oh, that
because
must have been,
you know, there's a queue of people that need it, that need that bed, and it was already stripped, and she was, you know,
yeah, and that's a shock, isn't it? That's a shock. That would have been the first shock of the disappearing act. I mean, you know, she was there, now she's not there. Where is she? You know, we're the age we are. And we still find that, I think, difficult to come to terms with. I mean, it is the ultimate thing that's difficult to come to terms with, and it, albeit natural one.
Yeah, but you know what? We did have, we have had some fun. We've had some good times, so and it really is, you know, this sadness is so coloured by relief. It really is.
I know. It was sort of then was time for her, wasn't it?
Oh,
for
definitely. Her, yeah, yeah. She'd had enough. Yeah, yeah. But the other feelings are so much more complicated. And the weird one, and I don't know whether other people would have been through this, is this odd thing about the final tie with Lytham, with this place. Yes.
Oh, most definitely.
This is the thing that is really affecting me. It's a thing that pulls the rug from underneath me, and I don't know why.
Oh, it's because it's your roots, love.
But it wasn't where I was born. It was only where I went. I suppose it's where I went to school and.
Where you were born is I don't know. It's sort of neither here nor there, really. It's where your mum's root. You know, where she chose to be, where she was all that time, where she was based. And do you know? I mean, honestly, losing your mum, it's really fucking hard, Jenny. It is for all of us, you know. We none of us ever really get used to the idea of losing our mums. I mean, it has to happen, and it has to happen for June, but it is hard. And, you know, it's...
I had her for 62 years. I was so, so much luckier than other people.
Yeah.
And people have been so kind on social media. You know, I've put some photos up, just a couple of photos up on the notice board.
Beautiful photos. And the one of her with Arlo, of course, and isn't that a joy that she met Arlo?
It's the one thing. I mean, I've done many things in my life I regret. I have done some terrible, terrible things.
Oh, listen, we all have.
Good thing was you know, that trip up north with Phoebe and Arlo. Even though there was a time when... I remember when we were trying to get off the Northern Line at Euston, and there's no step-free access, and I just thought, what the fuck are we doing? And I nearly tipped the pram over, and all this kind of one thing after another, and I just thought, this is insane. And then thank goodness we did that, because there was a definite connection.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And anyway.
I mean, it's, yeah, you will, it'll be hard when you close the door on the flat, which obviously will be a while yet. And I suppose, you know, maybe these things, they kind of, it's a gradual step, isn't it? Because I suppose already your mum's flat's not really looking particularly like your mum's flat. You know, it'll change, won't it? Things will go, things get moved around. And I suppose by the time you come to close the door on it, you know, it won't feel like your mum's place anymore. It's sort of, it's all part of this sort of...
No, and we'll, you know, we'll all be back here for the funeral and...
Which will be quite soon, I suppose. Will it be next week?
Well, if my sister has any... No, I think it's the 19th. It's a Lytham is traditionally, you know, where people come to retire. So there's often quite a queue. I remember when my dad died, we had to do several laps of St Anne's because there was such a backlog. Yeah. Yeah, but there was, because there was like a drive full of hearses, and you just couldn't get close to the crematorium.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Mike's a celebrant, as you know, and so he's seen it from the other side. I mean, it is absolutely like timed to such precision, because and the last thing you want to do is be joining the wrong funeral. I bet that happens, you know. Must do, mustn't it? You must see.
Yeah, it'll be very small. I mean, you know, it's my aunt that the biggest distressing thing is that Eileen is left. But anyway, it is now 2023.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just something to be dealt with. And I don't know, Christmas, the one thing that struck me about Christmas this year, more than anything, and it's taken me a hell of a long time to realise this, is that I don't give a shit about the presents, really. We didn't even open most of ours till the 30th. We had to wait until everybody was better.
Gosh, yes, I bet
we didn't see Phoebe until the 30th. She was so ill.
She must have been in a right state. And you must have been very, very torn, because you would have wanted to help her out as well. So that can't have been an easy journey.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did visit the house of sick, but just to get him out of the house, get Arlo out for a bit. But, dear, yeah. Anyway, did you get any nice presents, Judith?
Well, a bit like you, I suppose. I do. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but I do actually really like giving people presents a little, but you're probably a bit more than receiving them, really. And Mike did quite well. He bought me a nice vase, which was a surprise. And I like a nice vase. But I tell you, the best present that I had by quite a long way, I'm ashamed to say, it came in the crackers. And I can't tell you how much pleasure it's given me already. I bet you can't guess what it was. But anyway, it's a key ring. Okay, so I got this key ring. I thought, oh, okay, well, it's a key ring, you know, like, all right, what's the point of that? And I thought, well, why has it got a supermarket trolley sort of, you know, logo on it? That's a bit odd, isn't it? Why would you want a memento of a supermarket? And I said, no, duh. It's a token to put in the supermarket thing, so you don't have to find a pound.
So you never have, and you can put that on your key ring. Can you put
it
on a key ring?
It's on my key ring, Jenny. So haven't been to Lidl yet, but I will not have to fart around.
Oh, no, that's going to be a big day, isn't it?
It's you know, that's a big win, really. Yeah, big win. Yeah. What about you? What did
Well, they've given up on pound coins in my local supermarket, so that's a thrill that I can't... Yeah.
Why have they given up on them?
Because nobody's got any pounds, so they're just, you know, jackhammering them off. It's South London. Yeah. They're just blow-torching them apart. I got some lovely scarves, and I have to say, going through June's things... I have reclaimed a couple of very nice scarves that I bought during the past. And, you know, my sister's going through everything. You know, there's some kind of ratty stuff. And Sarah's saying, it's fine. I'll have that.
Will you? Who's getting
it? It's only got a hole in it. It's just a hole.
Very difficult process, though, isn't
it? Yeah, she's filled the fridge with yellow stickered food, honestly. It's Russian roulette eating in this flat at the moment. Fortunately, Ben's turned up, so we will eat well.
So who's bagged the long-handled shoehorn and the picker-upper? And the
my mother never had a long-handled shoehorn.
Didn't she?
No, she didn't. She had a very narrow foot, really narrow, beautiful ankle. My mother's ankles never swelled up. Oh, they did. Okay, in post-90, they did. But throughout her 80s, she had a neat ankle until, you know, one last fall and puff, out they go. And then, what was depressing yesterday? I mean, it's depressing enough, your mother dying. There's a sale on in Sea Salt in Lytham, and it's been on since Christmas. And when Jeff and I were up here, I bought myself a pair of trousers, and they were navy corduroy. And I'm going to admit, Judith, as you have suspected for quite a long time.
We've got up a size.
Yeah, nice and baggy, size 16.
Welcome to our world, Jenny.
I thought I can squeeze into the 14, but they're just going to cut in and make me miserable and travel up my fanny. I'm not going to have these. I'm going for a low drop gusset. And so I bought those, and my sister saw the same ones in an olive green, and she bought them in a size 8.
Stop it. Mm-hmm. You are kidding. That's hard.
It was a bitter blow. I'm already very...
She's a size 8. Are you sure she's actually genetically related to you?
Well, you see, there's a tiny... Remember how small Phoebe is as well?
Very true. She's got tiny, a wispy gene.
My aunt, Eileen, is minute.
Really?
So there is a small... thing that yes and
missed
and
you course, out there didn't it you missed you
missed
out.
Me out and my brother as well we are hefty arsed and wide of knee but both of us are quite flat
heavy boned I think is the is,
no
is
I'm not no no because if you look at me I've got quite small ankle I've got small feet remember I'm only 4.5
I sometimes look at your feet your shoes and think well, whose are those
I'm actually quite dainty I'm only 5'4" but I've got a big personality.
Dainty wouldn't be a word I'd use for
I'm
you.
Quite
ever,
actually,
Jenny.
I'm actually quite dainty. I've decided that's my motto for 2023. I've not
be
made
more
a single
dainty.
Fucking resolution. No, just to say that I'm dainty. When people say, well, you know, what's your body shape? I'm going to say dainty. I'm petite and dainty. When I go in shops, I'm going to say, have you got this in the petite or dainty?
See
I like this,
said.
But more petite and more dainty.
I think both of us would not be able to pull that off. Be fun though, wouldn't it? It would be fun.
Yeah. Have you made any resolutions?
I've started to not really. Nothing very interesting. I never keep to them. There's no bloody point, is there really? I've started doing Pilates online, which is quite good, actually. I've done that, but, you know, it's only the 3rd of January, Jenny. I've only done it for about four days.
No, I do think Pilates and yoga can be done at home online, actually.
And it's,
I think
you know,
both,
terribly easy, isn't it?
You if you find the right teacher and the right person that you like, then it's who are you using?
Nicole. Yes.
So, what do you look up on YouTube for Nicole?
Oh, Pilates. If you put Pilates at workouts,
beginners Pilates.
Well, yeah.
Beginners.
Yeah, she's there.
Yeah, remedial Pilates.
I tell you what's good
for big boned girls.
Dainties for the dainties, heavily inverted comma dainties. Yeah. I tell you what I like about her is that she doesn't sort of say, this is what I'm doing in China. She just shuts up, doesn't say anything at all, and she's just got this sort of countdown second thing on the top right hand of the frame. So and it beeps when it's nearly finished. It's just kind of you can switch off mentally.
Okay, and how many minutes are you doing? 20.
It's a 30-minute tape and I get really bored at 75%. Yeah. I've worked out that's 20 minutes. Can't do any more than 20 minutes.
20 minutes is enough. And any teacher online just has to know that we just want 20 minutes. We'd rather have 15. 12 minutes is ideal. Thank you very much. I'm off. Anyway, I'm going to go and... I don't know what I'm going to do now. It's a weird old limbo time.
It's a tough old time, but you know.
I think it'll hit me at different times. I think that you know I can process this in an unemotional way, and then I'll just catch sight of something and I'll fill up and get very weepy.
Of course you will, and quite right too. I don't know whether you've had chance. You probably haven't had chance, but the emails and messages from the gang have been. I mean that you know when you get.
I want to thank everybody because it has been overwhelming, and I am incredibly grateful. And I know a lot of people who've been through exactly the same thing. And I think if you have had a parent that suffered with dementia. That there is this, somebody just said to me on Twitter that it complicates the grieving process because there is it mixed up with the grief is the relief.
It's a relief,
which then gives you guilt for not feeling more sad because, you know, there is, thank God.
Yeah, I know, and but I think that that's quite right. That's you know the way your relief is dead right, and it'll mix and match. It'll wane. It'll change.
Yeah. But I can still, you know, it's weird how I'm already getting emotional about this cutting off the tie with this area.
Oh, I know. Of course you are.
But I couldn't fucking wait to leave when I was 18. There you go. We've talked about that before, about how sort of easy it is. But anyway, we're here, my sister, myself, my brother, overfilling the flat like huge toddlers in a playpen, too many of us, overcrowding, bickering. You know, there will be probably some scratching and pulling later on. I tell you what we watch.
And we
won't do a proper culture corner. Well, we can actually, because I do think the culture corner, having distraction at this point is really, really useful. What we watched last night, and I really enjoyed it, and it made us all laugh, was Stonehouse.
We watched it too, funnily enough, last night.
It's funny, isn't it?
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? It's interesting, isn't it?
It's really original. It's Matthew McAdam. Is it Matthew McAdam playing John Stonehouse, who faked his own
death? Succession, he's great, isn't he? And his real-life wife.
Yes, Keely Hawes,
who I didn't realise, playing his wife in
the long-suffering 1960s wife. And the sets are great. And he is so arrogant and so full of himself and such a 60s MP, even though he's a Labour MP.
Well, exactly.
And he behaves like a Tory MP.
I know. I kept having to ask Mike. He is a Labour MP, isn't he? Yes, he was a Labour. It's his Wilson there, isn't it? Are you sure?
Yeah, but the Stonehouse was so... He was such a preening man.
Oh, yes. Very, very full of himself. And, of course, sexually... careless, shall we say? And also, actually, I loved that scene as well in the beginning, because you could really see it coming, couldn't you? Where he goes to Czechoslovakia, and
the first woman he's introduced to is the interpreter, the beautiful blonde interpreter, who is obviously a setup,
and he ends up in bed with her.
Yeah,
of course he does. And then they say
it all backfires.
It all backfires. Yeah, perhaps we shouldn't say exactly how, but it's he's so sort of gormless, isn't he? Really,
his face is an actual picture. And it strays quite close to pantomime now and again. You just think, is this going to wobble out of control? And it never does. It's a really, really clever, original voice and tone. So thank you, whoever was behind that. Which I know who's behind it. It's John Preston, who wrote A Very English Scandal, the book, and also about Robert Maxwell, and is just... is great.
Isn't that interesting? So he's made a bit of a thing, really, of looking at sort of powerful kind of power-crazed, rather egocentric politicians.
Yes, or absolutely. Really flawed, egocentric, bonkers. Yeah.
Yes.
So that he's a very interesting writer. So thank you for that. I'm also, Jeff and I, listening to some murder mystery thing that I'm not that into, but I think I might have forgotten about it by the time I get back to London. I am finally listening to the Barbara Kingsolver that everybody recommended so highly. It's called Demon Copperhead. It is beautifully, beautifully written.
What's it about?
Well, it's a kind of it's a faux Dickens kind of thing. It's David Copperfield's story, but told in a 1990s trailer trash American way.
How clever!
Yeah, it's really clever. Judith, what are you reading? What are you watching?
We enjoyed Vardy versus Rooney on Channel 4 at Christmas, which, if you are in the mood for a sort of frivolous bit of a treat, really, that's good.
But is it a courthouse thing? Because remember, I've got a criminal barrister sitting next to me on the sofa, pointing out whenever things in court would never be.
Although I think they use the transcripts, actually.
Oh, really?
What struck me was, you know, all the texts that are brought out in court now. Of course they are, all the WhatsApps, you know, transcripts, read out. And this brilliant barrister who says, you know, FFS, remind us what that means, you know, Rebecca.
Yeah, yeah.
And she obviously has to read it all, for fuck's sake. But also all the conversations between her and her agent, always followed by a kiss. And I know you and I do this, and you and I and Daisy do this. Every time we text each other, there's a kiss on the end. And that's, I mean, it's lovely. But it sort of seeps into, you know, like I've got it with my cleaner and I've got it with a few other people. And you can't row back, can you? But there was something, about.
Once you've landed a kiss at the end of the text.
Then you think there's no kiss on that one. Why is that?
Yeah.
But there's this, but it's that disconnect between vicious, bitchy email, WhatsApps. Yeah. Really vicious
words. And then at the end.
Kiss, kiss. Oh, good idea. Kiss, kiss.
That's diverting, isn't it? Have you watched Happy Valley?
Oh, brilliant.
I've only seen one so far.
Well, there's only one available.
There's only one available, so they are dropping them once a week, like old style.
I think they are. But, I mean, Sarah Lancashire's acting is just... I mean, it's astonishing, isn't it?
I think it's everything. To be honest, I think it makes everything else look a bit slipshod. Because it's the writing, it's the performance, it's the pace of direction, it's the confidence of direction, it's everything. Is that how James Norton is looking, you know, this new born again Jesus figure in a tracksuit?
I know.
Extraordinary.
The sort of crown of thorns.
The scar that looks like the crown of thorns.
Sticking out.
But also desperately symbolic, and the terrible PE teacher. It's everybody at the height of their game. So there are a couple of really good telly recommendations. I can't remember if there's actually anything
but I mean
else.
Christmas itself was a bit of a dearth, wasn't it?
Geez,
but, I mean,
terrible.
Presumably. I suppose you didn't have a lot else to do in the evenings, did you?
No,
you and Jeff.
No, and Christmas. You know, I think we ended up watching the Pottery Showdown, Throwdown.
You were so good in that, Jenny.
I like watching myself, but in the end, I watched that because there was nothing else to watch, and I quite enjoyed it.
I'm glad you watched it. The garage that you made, it was so you and so full of sort of wit and mischief. It was really clever, and actually the mix of the people on it
was really good. I will maintain it. Always, that the skill in those programs is the casting
absolutely.
So you've got to get a kind of chemistry in the room, and it just we had such a good time. I cannot
liked
tell
each
you.
Other, and that was very that
yeah.
Was
and
very
I loved
evident,
being
actually.
In that studio, and I loved the place, and it was just such a privilege to have done that job. You know,
that was a great show.
And I enjoyed wearing a bonnet at the beginning of it. We did a song in a bonnet, and I'd take any fucking work going. I've got absolutely nothing. But listen, the one last recommendation I've got for Culture Corner, if anyone's in London, they've done this refurb or just a sort of a revamp to Tate Britain, and they've painted some of the walls, they've rehung some of the old favourites. The colours are just magnificent. There isn't a dud room in it at the moment. It's Tate Britain, which I find a lot more user-friendly than Tate Modern, which is just
that's
so
the
massive.
One that's in Pimlico.
It's in Pimlico,
It's
by far the most, it really is easy on the...
It's kind of a manageable size, isn't it?
Honestly, it was inspiring. What they've got in there at the moment is utterly inspiring. So if you can pop in,
that's a good skill.
You don't need to pay for the exhibitions because they're quite pricey. What is just there for anybody to wander in and look is enough. So it's
even
great.
Better, and probably quite a nice gift shop.
Excellent.
Well, listen, Jenny, you are amazing. You've got difficult.
It's what it is with me, isn't it? It's Dr. Theatre as well. If I've got a job to do, I can kind of put anything to one side and just get on with it.
Could you?
That's
really interesting. And compartmentalise.
Yeah.
That's a bloody amazing.
But that's
skill.
June. That's also something instilled in me from the most stoic person that I have ever met in my life, and that was my mother.
Wow. Was she? Was she?
Yes.
Yeah. No nonsense, yes. I'm sure. Tough, resilient. Yeah. Funny
big
too,
nose,
wasn't she?
Big nose and a
big
suit
nose.
Maker.
Yeah. What else was she, Jenny? What else was she?
She was She was kind of really no nonsense and quite strict in some respects, and sort of didn't suffer fools, and had a massive bullshit detector, and thought most people were idiots. And she's just, yeah, she was a great reader. She used to play bridge with my aunt until my aunt's eyesight went, and the loyalty she had to my aunt. And she was very quietly proud of the three of us. Not that she'd ever say anything nice to our faces particularly, but I've heard through other people. And she was just quietly magnificent, really.
I bet she was.
Yeah.
Wow. Quietly magnificent. That would do me. Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty good, Jenny. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Was there a song that she loved?
She was a bit like me. Music wasn't a huge part of it. We're just in the process of choosing the music for her funeral, and the one that we've all there won't be any hymns, I don't think, but we will all go out to Super Trooper by ABBA.
Super Trooper by ABBA. Gosh, yeah. Fantastic!
So, there we
fantastic.
Go.
Fantastic. Okay.
All right then, you. I'm going to go and have 5 minutes without my brother and sister because they promised to stay out till 12.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look. Good luck with it all. Lots of luck.
Yes.
And love from the gang too. And
I know. And I am grateful. So thank you, everybody. But it has helped me to do this, and I missed it last week. And you know, it's good to talk, as they say.
Yeah, it's good to talk. Absolutely. All right. Well, look, lots and lots of love, Jenny. Good luck
with
it all.
And thank you very much. And thank you to Daisy, and thank you both for being in touch with me and all that.
Yeah.
All right then. We will onwards, gang. Yeah. Good luck and Happy New Year, as happy as it can ever be.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Super Trooper beams are gonna blind me, but I won't feel blue like I always do. Or somewhere in the crowd there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.